Rulon Gardner was a big man, but the humble Wyoming farm boy seemed like a tiny underdog against the mighty Russian wrestler, Alexander Karelin, in the super heavyweight Greco-Roman wrestling finals of the Sydney Olympics of 2000. The mighty Russian champion was a fearsome force of nature, undefeated in international competition for 13 years, the winner of 3 consecutive Olympic gold medals and 9 consecutive world championship titles. Karelin hadn't conceded a single point in international competition for 6 years leading into those Olympic Games. Gardner hadn't even won a championship in his college career. Then they stepped onto the mat in Sydney. Karelin was a giant in the wrestling sports world. Gardner was the huge underdog. Karelin had not lost a match in forever. Gardner had never been a champion in his life. This should be another easy gold medal for Karelin. But during the match, nothing that Karelin did or tried even worked. It was so close that it had to go to an extra round. At the end, Gardner did the unexpected. He defeated the giant Karelin by a score of 1-0, shocking the world. He won the Olympic gold medal. Gardner became an overcomer that day. Today, we start a new series called Overcome. Over the next few weeks, we are going to look at what the Bible has to say about overcoming whatever you may be facing in your life. We will look at the importance of never giving up, that you can walk in the full power of forgiveness, how to face the mountains of your life when life seems to be unfair. And today, we will look at how to face the giants in your life. Today, we're going to look at a Bible story that everyone has heard of, even if they do not know all the different details of the story. It's the story of David and Goliath. It's the story of overcoming the giants in your life. Before we look at 1 Samuel 17, I want you to understand what's happening as I'm going to give you the background to the verses we're going to read in the middle of this chapter. So what happens is the army of Israel is facing off against the Philistine army, their enemies. They are each camped on a type of a mountain with a big valley in between them. And twice a day, the giant warrior named Goliath would come out from the Philistine camp and go down into the valley, and he'd shout out to the Israel army, and he challenged them to a fight. The fight was a winner take all. So instead of the two armies fighting, the two warriors would fight, and whichever warrior wins, the other army, the losing army, would then surrender to the victorious army. Now, you need to understand some things about Goliath. We call him a giant, and he was a giant of a man. He stood almost 10 feet tall, but I also assume that he was broad and thick and big because his armor alone weighed 150 pounds. He had a spear, and the head of his spear weighed about 15 pounds. So he is a mighty man. He's a giant of a man, and the Israel army is terrified. And not only does Goliath come out twice a day to challenge the Israel army, this had been going on for 40 days. Now, David happens to arrive in the camp of Israel's army. You see, his 3 older brothers were in Saul, King Saul's army, and part of the Israel army. And David's father, named Jesse, decided he wanted to send food and supplies to his sons and to some of their commanders. So he put a basket together, and he said to David, take the journey up to the camp where the army is and bring these to your brother. And he also wanted a report. Bring me back a report of how your brothers are doing. And that's where we're going to pick up this story. First in verse 28 and then jumping down to 32 and following it there. So 1 Samuel 17, 28 tells us this part of the story. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. David said to Saul, now we're jumping to 32, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. He has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Did you notice the first obstacle here that David had to overcome? It was his own brothers. For some reason, they hated the fact that David had shown up and was present in the camp. They hated the idea that that David was there inquiring about what was going on, and they belittled him. But you notice that they said, where are your few sheep? Who are with your few sheep? As if David's few sheep were insignificant. Then they falsely accused his motives. They said, you're conceited and wicked. They felt that David had no business being there. And they basically believed that it would be impossible for David to go up against Goliath. So this teaches us that if you want to overcome your giants, the first thing you need to realize is this: refuse to believe it's impossible. Goliath had been taunting Israel for 40 days. For 40 days, no one in Israel dared to accept the challenge. For 40 days, King Saul did not have a response to the Philistine army. The army of Israel concluded that defeating Goliath is impossible. We can all experience that in our own lives personally. The longer we allow a giant, a situation, an obstacle, an issue, a problem, a hurdle, the longer we leave something to stand before us, the harder and harder it becomes to believe that we can overcome it. It's easy for us to lose heart and lose hope. It's easy to start to believe that the giant will never go away, that the giant could never be defeated. See, everyone in this story is looking at the size and the strength of the giant Goliath. Everyone thinks that defeating Goliath is impossible. That's why they've been here for 40 days in fear. Everyone except David. David refuses to believe that this is impossible. David believes that this giant can be overcome. What is the giant that you are facing today? Are you like the Israel army who only sees an impossible situation of which there is no escape? Or are you willing to see like David, see the giant but believe that the giant can be overcome? The first step in overcoming is to refuse to believe it's impossible. Let's pick up more of the story in verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals. See, this part of the story shows us that we need to understand that people can offer us help, but not hope. As we read that part of the story, did you notice what Saul's response to David's situation is? He offers David only what he knows and what he has. He gives David his armor to wear. See, Saul is an experienced man of battle. He knows that when he goes into battle, he needs to be wearing his full armor. And so he only gives to David the help that he could give David. And that is, let's give you some armor. And so David tries on his armor, but as we read, it just wasn't comfortable. It just did not work for him. You see, this is just like the world we live in. See, we live in a time where if you need help or want help, all you have to do is Google it. There are books, there are articles, blogs, podcasts, all kinds of voices are trying to speak into your situation, offering you all kinds of different thoughts and advice. Now, I think many of them are well-meaning and they want to offer help, but be careful. Not all the voices who speak into your life are going to offer you good advice. And not all the voices that speak into your life are going to offer you godly advice. See, there's nothing wrong with accepting help. Hey, we all need help from time to time, but you need to realize that people can give you help, but they cannot give you hope. You need to realize that you cannot hope in others. You can turn to them for help, but hope comes from the Lord. Psalm 39:7 says it this way, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Let's go back to David. So he realizes that the armor just doesn't work for him. It's big, it's clunky, it's heavy. I assume that he was thankful to King Saul for his concern and for his help, but it just didn't fit him. See, David wants to stick to what he's used to, a slingshot and some stones. David doesn't want to trust in someone else's armor. He wants to trust in what he knows. David doesn't want to put his hope in a man's military strength. He wants to put his hope in God. God brought him through the fights with the lion and the bear, and God will see him through this fight also. See, David is not depending on his own strength. His hope is in God. Where is your hope? Is your hope in the advice of friends? Is your hope in the knowledge of experts? Is your hope in your spouse or in your parents or in your siblings? I'm sure some of these will offer you good advice, but your hope needs to be in God and God first. Now let's look at the last part of the story that we're going to look at today, and begins in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. (Clears throat) David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Can you imagine being in either of those camps and watching this scene play out? Most people probably did not know David. They did not know his story. They did not know that his faith and his hope was in God of Israel, Yahweh. They just saw a ridiculous scene about to play out before their eyes. I can imagine the laughter in the Philistine camp as they stood on the edge of the valley looking as some small boy approached their warrior, Goliath. Goliath, who's been a mighty warrior, who's been trained in fighting since he was all of his life, since he was a boy. And here comes a teenage boy for him. Goliath is big and strong and experienced in battle. His adversary was a kid with no armor, no weapons, except a small slingshot and some stones. I can imagine the uncertainty in the camp of Israel. David's brothers were probably a little concerned. I think the army was concerned. I mean, they knew this is winner take all. I mean, if our guy loses, we lose. It's winner take all. And all we sent out is a young teenage boy with no armor and no military training. David doesn't seem to have a chance. And the army's thinking soon we're going to have to surrender and possibly die. Yet David knew what no one else seemed to know that day, that he did not go to fight this giant alone. That even when we are alone, we are not alone. That day God delivered the giant into the hands of David. The Israel army triumphed over the Philistines. A great victory was won. David was not alone. You may be facing things in your life today, and you may be feeling alone. I want you to know you are not alone. I understand that you feel alone, but you are not. I understand that you might be going through something and you feel like no one else cares and no one else helps, but you are not alone. You need to know that when you face the giants in your life, you are not alone. God is always with you. God has promised that He will never leave you or forsake you. I also want you to understand this, that there are times that you're going to face the giants and they don't come down with the first stone. There are times that you're going to face your giants and it's going to take some time to get the victory. It's okay. You are not alone. God is with you. There are times that you're going to face your giants and you don't feel like you're winning any victory, but I want you to understand this. You are not only an overcomer when you face and defeat the giants in your life. You are an overcomer when you face the giants in your life and you continue to persevere. See, overcoming is not limited to getting the results we want. Overcoming is also learning to be okay when nothing really changes. Even if God doesn't slay the giant in your path, He gives you the strength to stand for another day. Even if the circumstances don't change, God is with you to comfort you and help you. Even when you think you are alone, you are not alone. God is with you. God is with you to help you to be an overcomer today. Yes, this is a wonderful story with a mighty miracle, and God still does miracles today. But you overcome just by facing the giants in your life and holding on to the hope and faith you have in God. Remember what this story teaches us today. Refuse to believe it's impossible. And people may try to help you, but your hope is in God alone. And even when you feel alone, remember, you are not alone. I also want to encourage those of you who are listening or watching me right now who maybe do not know the God of David. You do not know the God that David believed in, and you find it hard to believe that somebody like David or any person could believe in a God like that. But I want you to know that God is available for you to know him today. God actually cares for you. In fact, God loves you. He sent his son Jesus into this world, and Jesus died and resurrected for you. In fact, we celebrated that just last weekend, Easter weekend. And so I want you to know that God is inviting you into a relationship with him. God wants you to know him the way that David knew him, that you could trust him the way David trusted him. You could hope in him the way David hoped in him. You could know God, and you get to know God through his son, Jesus. And it's really, really simple to turn your hope and your faith into Jesus. You need to accept who Jesus is. You need to accept that Jesus came to this world because of God's love. You need to believe that what Jesus said is true and believe that Jesus died for you so your sins could be forgiven. And then you need to confess that Jesus will be the Lord of your life, that he is God's son, and that you can give your life over to Jesus' teaching. And it's simple for you to do that. You basically today just need to say, Jesus, I invite you into my life and I want to live for you. That's really all you have. That's the confession of faith, that Jesus, I believe you and I confess you. And if you're doing that right now, I congratulate you and I welcome you into the family of God. And even if you need to, into our Highway family if you don't have a family. But we want to help you here at Highway to be able to begin your spiritual journey. And you can reach out to us and you can text us the word love. And we use that word because God loves you. Jesus loves you. It's love that makes a difference. And so text the word love with your phone and text it to our number, 416-267-1189, and then please follow the prompts. And if you're on our online platform, a button should be popping up momentarily or already has, and you can click that button there and fill out that information. We are so glad that you made a decision today to follow Jesus, and we want to walk with you in this, and we want to help you in your spiritual journey so that you too could know Jesus, love God, and put your hope in him for the rest of your life. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we are so grateful once again for your word and for the lessons that your word teaches us. We're so grateful for the story of David and Goliath. We're so used to when someone who's something that seems impossible becomes possible. And so, Lord, we just want you to know that we trust you with the giants of our lives. Lord, help us to overcome. Help us to live as overcomers in this life so that we can overcome our ways right into eternity with you. Lord, we want to be an overcomer, and we want to overcome those things that stand in our way today. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us wisdom, give us grace, give us hope. May our hope be in you alone. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.